time for a podcast already.
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
I didn't know that.
Welcome back, listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight here in the jar, the garlic jar, that is. Listen to me. Get to the nearest evacuation route, slam the doors tight on the storm cellar doors, and if you're in the middle of a tornado and see cows flying, best try and dodge them like Frogger. By now, we all know I'm Matt. And join with me tonight is my passenger, Jenna, on this this whip of a pickup truck that we're literally going to be riding into the eye of the tornado tonight, right?
What's up, everyone?
Oh, Jen, we were waiting for this episode. This one's kind of got like I think it's got a little bit of momentum because it's going over some really cool movies, some shows, some recaps, some really good pop culture, but I'm gonna let you take it away. Why don't you tell everybody what we're diving into tonight?
I'm really excited for this episode, but I'm also really like, I'm glad we waited to do this because this is the perfect time, but I'm also a little bit disappointed in us that we haven't already covered like an episode like we're gonna be doing tonight. So tonight, guys, we have for you a special themed episode, because y'all know that I love to do themed episodes. So tonight, episode 49, we are tributing to the movie Twister, which is one of my favorite films.
Yep.
And our title of the episode is, It's the Suck Zone.
Ooh.
It's the wonder of nature, baby! So, those are two quotes you have by one of my favorite characters in the movie, Dustin Davis, who is played by the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Great actor.
The casting of this film.
Oh, yeah.
Is just fantastic. You got, like, a bunch of, like, good people in one film.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't call this, like, the star-studded lineup, because, like, when you think of a star-studded lineup, like, you go back to, like, okay, the Avengers, right? That's a star-studded lineup. When you go back to, like, a star-studded lineup, going into action movies, I think of, like, Expendables, because you have Sylvester Stallone, you have Jason Statham, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right, those are, like, star-studded lineups where it's like, wow, the big movie icons that you could get. But for this one, I think for the time period when Twister came out, I wouldn't call it star-studded, but this was a really good lineup. Like, I mean, because you were getting kind of people familiar from shows and movies together. And not only that, though, I mean, you were kind of getting some characters and some actors, actresses that were in previous late 80 films, like that were real comical and real funny at one point, you know?
Yeah,
and
are
still
Ruck.
Favorites. Yep, Alan Ruck. We know him to be Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's, yep. He plays Rabbit.
Yep, and then how about Alan Twister. Ruck when he was in the show with Michael J. Fox? Remember, what was that, Spin City? Or Top?
Yeah.
Yep, he was in that.
He's currently in Succession on HBO, which if you've never seen it, you should.
No,
watch
I never
it
saw it.
It's fantastic. It's like a modern day like Game of Thrones. It's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like all about like the father in Succession is like the head of like this big like company.
Yeah,
and like he gets sick, so then it's like, oh, everybody's trying to like try and take over the family business, and it's Brian Cox. Brian Cox is the dad in the show, but it's like it's cutthroat, and like everybody's trying to like look out for themselves, and it. I don't know. I love it.
Oh man, I'll have to check that out. No, I'm dead serious. Yeah. I when I say I will check that out, I will definitely check it out. And I do like Alan Ruck. I mean, he was one of my. I'm not gonna say he's like one of my all time favorite actors, but he's been in a lot of good stuff over the years. That I can kind of go back to, you know? And like you said, like, between the TV shows and the streaming shows now, streaming movies and that type of stuff. Yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of getting their call back, you know?
Yeah, and, like, so the reason why we're starting off with the big bang of Twister is because it is the 25th anniversary of the film.
You know what? I'm actually glad that we waited, because you know what? If we did this last year, we would have been on the 24th. But to actually say we're doing this on the 25th anniversary, I think that's kind of epic. That's notable. Epic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty cool. I have to ask you. So before we kind of go into like our disaster movies, because we know that that's obviously our big topic, going through natural disaster movies or whatever we want to consider disaster movies.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, do you remember seeing Twister in theaters when it first came out?
No.
Okay. This petrified
me. I only ever saw it on like VHS in my home.
This petrified me, and I could say the first place that I saw this was at the 99 Cent Theater. Used to be over by Burlington. It would be over like in the back or over on that side. Remember the 99 Cent Theater?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, and believe me, it was before they went to like a dollar movie theater. This was one of the few movies that I remember going with my brothers and my father to go see. And I was a nervous wreck because I was like, oh my God, you know, I kept on asking my father every other day. Like, oh my God, is it possible that we could get tornadoes? Because when you went from that whole system of seeing that destruction, like when you're a young kid and you see it, you're trying to grasp everything, you know, but then you're also questioning it too. Like, could that really happen? Are there such things in nature that do that? Like, can that happen outside our backyard or like where we live? So, I mean, that's the first time that I remember seeing it was at the 99 Cent Theater right next to Burlington, right there in Einan, Pennsylvania, up to Einan, I should say. And right. But yeah, that was my first time of seeing it.
Okay.
How about you? Do you remember? So you didn't see it in theaters?
I saw it at home. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe VHS. Like an HBO or VHS. Yep.
Yeah, okay. I remember it was on tape. Oh. Which like this is one of my favorite movies. Like I know it's like corny, but like I can recite every single word to this movie from like start to finish. Like the whole like hour and like 50 minutes that it is. Like I can just start and go right to the end. So,
yeah, I love it. I think it's notable. It's definitely on there on the list. And not just because it's the whole factor of being that it's 25 years old. You know, and there's obviously another big thing that I want you to also reference about it too, but I'm not going to give it away right now. But I mean, it's one of those iconic films. I mean, like if you go and you say, all right, listen, disaster movies, name them quick right now. What's on the top of your mind? Twister's going to come up. You know, you're gonna get other ones coming in there from like that 90s period where it was like Dante's Peak, Volcano. Yep. So, The Perfect Storm. I think that was 1999, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, but it was definitely close to that. Yeah, Armageddon.
Armageddon. How about that one?
Armageddon.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know what? Say what you want to say. I mean, you know, people will be like, "Listen, I'll dog on that Steven Tyler and Aerosmith version of I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
No, I love that.
Yeah, you know what? You got to remember, and in that day of time, when that came out, in that music video and stuff like that, first off, listen, did Aerosmith make a lot of money off it? Did they know what they were doing going up to a big cinematic film like Armageddon with Bruce Willis in it? You better believe it. And you know what? You could dog and shit on that song all you want, and I'm telling you right now, it's still a masterpiece. Look at how many people play it. Weddings, other venues.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you even hear it in the stadiums when they do, like, kiss cams or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, dog and shit all over it you want, people. Yeah, come at me, you know? But, no, I'm dead serious. You know, I I'm going to defend it. I'm going to say it's not the best Aerosmith song, but it fit that time period and it fit that film. So, it was fucking cool, all right?
There you go.
Yeah, you heard me. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. I want you to steer the wheel here and get us on the right road. Can you?
All right. Yeah. So we're gonna go back to Twister, the 25th anniversary.
Yes.
So what I'd like to do a little open with is if you guys have like social media, you could probably go on Facebook and like I follow these guys. I think they're called Tornado Interceptor. Yeah, Tornado Intercept on Facebook.
Oh.
And because you know I'm insane and I have to watch these people do this in real life. But so on Friday, just you know, the Friday that had just passed, like we're recording this on Monday, May 17th, but the Friday that had just passed was the 25th anniversary of Twister, and there was like a large meetup in Wakita, Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah, and, like, they had, like, in the town center, like, by the, like, the water tower that you see, like, that's all, like, real shots that they shot, like, out in Oklahoma. So, like, in the town center, they had the red truck, the yellow truck, Dorothy, like, you know, multiple Dorothys were there.
Yeah.
And, like, you could take pictures, and, like, a couple of the cast members were there. Not, like, you know, the big name ones, but, let's see, I'm trying to think who...
So you probably had like, cast members like Jamie Gertz, I'm trying to think. Well, maybe Alan Ruck. I mean, I don't want to definitely...
I think it was Sean Whalen. He went.
Okay, that would be, Sanders. Alan. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was his last name in there. Who played the Preacher? Girl. Preacher. Remember Preacher?
Scott Thompson.
Yes. Okay, Preacher. Yeah. And then there was another one, too. Who the heck was the other one? Belzer. Thank yeah. you. Yep.
That's Todd.
Well, that was the one that got, wasn't he, he was kind of stuck downstairs and, Helen Hunt had to go get him. That would be Joe. Joe had to go and cover over him because he was scared to get out of the stairwell. Remember at the movie theater scene when everything was crumbling, it was breaking down and they were trying to go for cover? I think that was Belzer, Todd's character, wasn't it?
No, Belzer was already in the thing. That was, oh, you're going to put me on the spot here. That was Lawrence. Lawrence wouldn't get out of the truck.
Oh!
He was like the young kid.
That's right. Because I'm trying to think of the young kid. Yep. Yeah. And
because, like, he's the one in the beginning of the film where he's like, well, do you want me to clean the camera lens here? And she's like, Helen Hunt says, not if you want to sketch the tornadoes.
Yep.
Yeah, so he was like, I think he was just learning on the job.
Hey, you got to have that intern, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Joe, and of course, Joe and Bill.
Joe and Bill.
The back and forth between them. I mean, they did this before. It wasn't their first rodeo going into tornado capturing. I mean, they knew what they were doing to go out and chase these storms. And that was cool. I mean, I think at that time when you have a movie like that, like, you're trying to think, like, is this the possibility? Can people actually get behind a tornado? Can they actually put a machine right in the middle of it to, you know, to decipher the vortex and the...
You know that it's based off of a real thing, right?
Right. Yep. And that's what I love about it is that we're actually talking about something that actually does happen, you know, and they
But the machines weren't called Dorothy. They were called Toto, actually. It was Toto.
It was after the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, T-O-T-O.
But like T-O-T-O, yeah.
Yep. Tutu. No, it's mm-hmm. Toto.
Toto.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
One thing that this probably educated me too, at that time, like going into tornadoes, because who the hell, you know, at that time, you're thinking like, when the hell would we ever see a tornado here in Pennsylvania? Which I don't want to say that anymore because we have seen tornadoes here.
We have.
Yeah.
Strangely enough.
Yep.
In the most recent years, yes, we have.
Yes, we have. Mm-hmm. And we could vouch for that, too, because remember what happened down in Wilkes-Barre where it tore across that whole shopping plaza. It wiped it right out. And there's pictures. I mean, that looked like a freaking F4. Like, it was just so crazy how...
It was not an F4.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying from the look of the picture for how wide the funnel was. Like, if you looked at that and somebody didn't know and they'd say, okay, well, based off this, here's some pictures. You know, put A and B together. People would probably say, oh my God, that's a big tornado. It wasn't. I mean, if in that category, it was probably something 65 to 110.
I believe that's like the F1.
Yeah. But yeah, how about
that? Actually, there's a new scale too. It goes by because like it used to be just like the F1, F2, F3, F4, F5. But like now it's like...
there's six categories. There's six categories. And
like the Fujita scale, but I think it's called like...
I think only us in Canada use it, though. Right?
Well, I don't think you see...
I mean, I don't know if you see a tornado. Maybe you see a tornado in Mexico. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe a big dust one or something. But...
Yeah.
Let's see. It starts at zero.
It's EF. Now it's EF.
It's EF. Okay.
EF instead of just F1. They added the E. That's what it is.
Okay. So it goes from EF0 to EF5, and that's your correct. Six categories of classification.
Yeah.
And, of course, how it's categorized is that it's weak, it's strong, it's violent. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I would look at it. I mean, you're looking at the minimal. Like, I think it has to... The weakest tornado has to hit a peak of 65 miles per hour on wind speed.
73.
Right? 73? Okay.
Yeah.
I would think 65 just because that's like a...
That's
like
close, yeah.
Right, it's like a generic number, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's close.
Yeah. But, yeah, but that's the cool thing about watching a movie like Twister. It kind of educates you because, you know, you're following these storm chasers. They know the storms more professionally than others. I mean, it's not just about riding your trucks through the dirt and the freaking mud and watching all those third angle panorama shots where it's like, okay, yeah, the mud just hit the windshield.
Driving down the road.
Yeah. You know, I mean, these are literally, I mean, there are real jobs where people go out there. Yeah, they are literally chasing these storms to study them. You know,
I don't think they really study them like that anymore. I think it's people that just kind of want to do thrills.
Well, probably
chase them. You know, photos.
I could see that probably National with technology. Geographic. Yep, National Geographic. But with technology, it probably made it easier to stay away from the chasing. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite films. There's,
it is.
I don't know. I love the story. I love. There's a bazillion quotes. That I love. So why don't we start there? Why don't we start with, like, favorite quotes?
Okay, favorite quotes. Well, I'm just going to put it this way. You name the episode, so I'm starting you on quotes. So.
Okay, you want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
Besides the two from Dusty, it's the Suck Zone, and it's the Wonder of Nature, baby. One of my other favorites that we were discussing with the episode titles was, I really like when Rabbit, he's got his... Like, Rabbit's thing is, like, the map, so he's, like, the navigator. And, like, right in the beginning, he's, like, taunting everybody because they're folding the maps, and he's, like, roll the maps. Don't fold the maps. I love the roll the maps. There's a crease right here through Wichita.
Yep.
And then, like, when they're on, like, one of the chases, and he's like, Rabbit is good, Rabbit is wise. And they're like, Jesus Christ, Rabbit. Because he's got them in, like, the middle of, like, a cornfield trying to find the road.
Yep.
And everybody's like, where's the road, Rabbit?
Yep.
And then he says something along the lines of, you see that brush right through there? And everybody's like, where? And he's like, the road's going to be right on the other side of there. And then, bam, they almost hit, the other crew that's, like, captained by, Carrie, what's his name from, The Princess Bride? Carrie.
Oh, Carrie Eels?
Yeah. He plays, Jonas Miller.
Yep. Well, he's kind of the, I don't want to call him the villain. He's just the
antagonist.
Right.
Yeah.
The antagonist to Bill. Mm-hmm. Because they used to work together. If you remember in the film.
He went out and got himself some corporate sponsors.
Yes,
he
did.
For the money, not the science.
Yes!
I would say.
So wait. Is that going as one of your favorite quotes? Because
no,
he does say that.
Like, I can literally just quote the whole movie. Like, if we want to do a dramatic reading right now, Matt, I could totally pull it off for you.
I was going to say, could you read the script? Could you go right through this?
I probably could. I've seen it that many times. Like, I burned out multiple VHS copies and multiple DVDs, so.
Wow.
Yeah. I know this one, like, the back of my hand.
Okay.
So, well, but, like, Dusty's got... some of my favorite quotes.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, like, as soon as you get done putting yours, I'm going to have two. And I guarantee you, you probably have maybe one of these quotes that I want to say.
We got cows?
Nope.
We got cows when they're flying back and forth.
Nope, I didn't get that one.
Twisters? No, okay.
Didn't get that one, but that is a good one because that's iconic, you know?
Yeah. What you got?
Okay. Well, I'll stick to, I'm going to go to Dusty here. So I'm going to start this. Red meat, we crave substance.
Sustenance. Yeah.
Yep.
Sustenance.
And then, of course, Joe's like, no, guys, we're not invading my aunt.
Yep. Aunt Meg.
And then there he is. Food.
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 Yep, and then they show up at Aunt Meg's for steak, eggs, and mashed potatoes.
How good does that dinner look, though? Like, how many times I could see that movie? The steak, the eggs, the potatoes, and they're just passing it all around. That is, oh my god. And then friggin' Dusty's loading up on, thanks, Meg, for all the, thank you.
with the leftovers.
Yep.
She has a good line.
She does, yeah.
Where Rabbit's like, oh, Meg, or she said, did you see my cows out front?
You got a lot of beef out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yep. I think you got a lot of beef out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
and
because
she's like, you see my cows out front? And he goes, no. And she's just like looking at him like, oh, that's where the meat came from. And
that's where, yeah, the slaughter, your own cows, Meg, nice.
Yep.
All right, I have to write this one down because I did write this. So that's funny that we're going from, because I have another Philip Seymour Hoffman one, but okay. I'm going to go to Alan Ruck because that was my next one. All right, so this is cool because he's kind of yelling into the next room. He's like, in a severe lightning storm, you want to grab your ankles and stick your butt in the air.
It's the safest orifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they're all sitting around the table because, Dr. Miller, Jonas, is on the TV.
Yeah.
He's in the news stations.
Yep. It's just funny because he tilts the chair back and he's yelling this into the other room. And it's like, guys, guess who's on TV?
Yeah.
So that's another.
And it turns it up.
That's another.
To hear.
That's another one. What do you got?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You go.
I also like when the house is rolling across the street and they're like, we're going in! And they drive right through the house.
Yeah.
Or like when, right around that, like right before the house scene and the what was it, an oil tanker?
Oil tanker, yeah, because the gas.
It drops
yeah.
in front of them and they're like, Joe, Bill, did you see that explosion? And like as they're driving through and they're like, yeah, we saw it.
Yeah, we're right in front of it.
Mm-hmm. We just went right through that, guys. Yep.
Oh, God.
So, what else you got? Anything?
Okay, so I have this one written down because, I don't know. I just liked how it was going because they were talking about Billy the Extreme or Bill the Extreme.
Yep.
Bill
the Extreme. It's the Extreme. It's yep. the Extreme. Yeah.
So, of course, here's Dusty. He strolls up to the
when
Twister.
When he's telling the
and
story.
And he says,
yep.
have a drink. And
here,
he chucks the bottle into the Twister and it never hits
and
the ground.
And it never hits the ground. Billy the Extreme.
Yep. Billy the Extreme.
Yeah. Melissa, Bill's new girlfriend, fiance, whatever.
Fiance, yeah, because they're getting married.
Amused. Yeah. She was not amused.
She was such a Debbie Downer. Like, you know, like there was a point where in that movie she's like, no, I want to go along. I think this is going to be fun. You know?
Yeah. And then she's all like freaked out because she's like, deep down, I just thought it was a metaphor. And I'm like, oh, girl, no.
Yeah, you didn't see this shit coming.
No.
Yep.
No.
God.
Nope.
You know, that's where, like, that's right where I'd be like, beginning. Boy. There's two things I would say. Listen, either I hope you packed extra tampons or you packed extra toilet paper because it's going to get extreme.
I like right in the beginning when Bill tries to get the divorce papers from Joe.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And he's like, so we can get out of here? And she's like, she's here? And he's like, yeah, I left her with Dusty. And she's like, you left her with Dusty? What's
of
the
all
matter
people.
With you?
Well, no, isn't that the part where he says it's the suck zone?
The suck zone, yeah. So that's where he was explaining it. And then, you know, when Melissa got left back for one of their attempts to get Dorothy off the ground.
Yep.
He was like, it's the suck zone. And she was like, oh, yes, with the fucking curly straws.
Yep. Yeah, they had like those 90s straws where there
the
was like eight
straws.
Loops, right?
Yeah, yep.
God, you used to pick them like up at the dollar store or right at Quinn's right mm-hmm. in front of the registers, yep.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I mean, the only other thing that I have is, I mean, I'm going to go to Bill Paxton.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, I can't believe it's already an anniversary on his death. He died May 17th.
Yeah.
How about that? Now, you were talking
a little creepy there.
That is creepy, right? That we're doing the 25th anniversary of Twister here. Now we're talking about Bill Paxton, right? Mm-hmm. Here's Bill Paxton. He died May 17th. And it's already, like, I forget how many years, but crazy that we're just coming up on this, you know? And we didn't plan that. That's one thing that I want to say that, honestly, coming into this, this is not scripted. We don't have this written on paper.
His birthday is May 17th.
Well, it's today. It's
his birthday.
Right.
He died in February.
So, but it's an anniversary of his, you know, his birthday.
Yeah, his birthday.
Yeah, not his death. I'm sorry, because I think I said that that's the day that he died. But yeah, it's his birthday. We're recording here on his birthday, and we're talking about an iconic film of his career. You know,
we are. And like, I have a bunch of trivia. I don't know if you want me to.
Okay. Well, I was gonna give the quote. Hang on. Go ahead.
Yes,
all right.
Do the quote.
Okay.
You do the quote, and then I'll do like a little tidbit of trivia about Bill Paxton. So go ahead.
Okay. So, the one that I have to pick here is that things go wrong. You can't explain it. You can't predict it. Killing yourself won't bring your dad back. I'm sorry that he died, but that was a long time ago. You got to move on. Stop living in the past. And look what you got right in front of you. Now, that was one of the most important things that I, you know, for Bill to come out, you know, doing this and rejoining the weather team or whatever you want to call it, the Storm Chasers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that was what Joe needed to hear from Bill, you know?
So can I tell you,
when I was younger,
never really, I don't want to say like I didn't care, but like I didn't care until, like, I was older, because you can see, like, how that affected Melissa.
Oh, sure.
When standing there with, like, you know, those, like, table umbrellas while it's, like, pouring rain and she's getting soaked and Bill's, like, confessing his love to Joe here over the radio. And I'm just kind of like, what? Like, as I watched it as an adult, and I was like, wow, I kind of, like, feel for her. I'm like, she's got to get out of there.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, she's now the second choice. You know, if we're going to be talking about meat, like, you know, Aunt Meg here serving up, I mean, you just became leftovers.
Yep.
Yeah. Better get with Dusty.
Yeah. Dusty. The barn burner. That's what his little short bus is called.
Yeah. I love that bus. It's hooked up to such a cool system. He's got the music videos going on.
Yes.
Yep.
On the TVs, you see Eric Clapton.
Yep.
You hear Van Halen. It's such an amazing soundtrack, too.
Oh, my. And you know what? I think that's one soundtrack that a lot of people kind of downplay, that we kind of forget. It was a good soundtrack back in the day.
Fantastic. I do some singing for you, but I'm not going to do that on the air.
The one song. Well, there's two songs that I notably remember off that soundtrack. Number one, going back to the late, great Eddie Van Halen, Respect the Wind. It was an instrumental song.
Yeah, that's the... That's the...
Right at the end of the credits.
The ending, yes. Yep.
That is Eddie Van Halen's composure. That is his piece. He wrote that for the film. Because, actually, Van Halen did have a song, too, for the soundtrack. The band did. But Eddie wrote a separate track, just an instrumental, which a lot of people don't know. And it's called Respect the Wind.
Correct, because the song that most people are thinking about, which you corrected me on the other night, is I thought you were talking about Humans Being.
No.
And you were like, no. But they're both on the soundtrack.
They are both on the soundtrack.
They're both on the soundtrack. Yeah.
But the one that I'm thinking is, Shine On.
Yes.
I can't sing right now because the puppies are in bed right now. this could be a big tornado coming into my office right now.
There you go.
I might get an EF5 from the wife. Yeah.
An EF. Enhanced Fujita. That's what EF stands for.
Ah, very good.
Enhanced. Yeah.
But, I like that. I think it's actually pretty cool that we brought those points up. We brought up some quotes. We brought up some memorable points. Because, I mean, obviously, listen. You know, we're talking about Twister tonight. It's 25 years in the make here that we have the movie. And it's honestly... I'd say, Jen, that had to be a blockbuster for 1996.
Oh, it had to be. So it was. So, can I tell you? So, like, one of my, I'll give you this little bit of trivia before we take a break.
Go ahead.
Where was it? My sheet here. Sorry, as I'm looking around. Steven Spielberg is one of the executive producers on the film, and he had never met Bill Paxton until like a year and a half after like they finished the movie and it was like released. And when he came up to like Bill Paxton, he greeted Steven Spielberg greeted Bill Paxton with saying like, "Hey, thanks for making me a lot of money."
Now, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I completely forgot that Steven Spielberg was the executive producer.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. I completely forgot about that because I think I've seen the name in the credits somewhere. But yeah, I completely forgot about that because that's like something that you're not looking for. I mean, the big part of this movie is cast and focus of the cinematic film, you know, but that's cool. I didn't know that. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Michael Crichton was one of the writers.
Oh!
I'm sorry, Crichton. Not Jurassic Park people.
Yep.
So.
That would be funny, though, because if he produced it, you know?
Yes.
But, yeah, I think that's good with the quotes. I think we talked about that. Why don't we take a break? Jen, I'll let you take this honor. Why don't you take us into break? And that way we could come back. We could finish up on Twister and go into other disaster movies. You guys
Sounds like a plan.
Yep. So why don't you just take us into break?
Yeah. So guys, sit tight. I'm going to come at you with a little bit of trivia before we move on. So stick with us and we'll be right back. Alright guys, welcome back from our quick break, and I'm just going to, like, pop out here with one of the greatest trivia facts ever that probably most of you, I would think, wouldn't have known. So, did we know that Twister was the first movie to be released on DVD ever?
That is crazy.
The first one ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Had to be... I mean, we're talking like, okay, so the movie came out in 1996.
Yep.
So when did DVDs come out?
Well, traditionally now, it's like, I don't know, like 6-9 months after the film. But like, you have the date when it first came out, right?
We do, it was
released on DVD. Yeah.
Yep.
So, March 31st, 1997.
Oh, man, that is, like, it just seems like it's so nostalgic. Like, when you say, like, a DVD anymore, it's, like, thinking like a game cartridge. Like, we don't have game cartridges anymore, you know? Anymore, it's all digital.
Downloads.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because, I mean, even in the retails, I mean, you don't find a lot of DVD material. I mean, yeah, they do sell DVDs still, but I think that's going to be coming to an end pretty soon, you know? And, I mean, yeah, the digital concept, I mean... Why not? I mean, everything is access from your computer nowadays. I mean, it's only more money. It's only more resource that you're putting into DVD video, you know, digital video diskettes, you know?
Yepers.
So, I mean, it was a fun ride. I'll tell you that. I have a good memory of buying DVDs back in the day. And I wish Twister was one of my first.
It was not my first.
It was not my first purchase. I have to admit that.
No, I was against DVDs because I hated the widescreen.
Sorry.
At the time.
Yep.
I didn't like the bars. Now I don't even notice, but.
One thing, Jen, it's kind of funny because after the break, right? Like, for some reason, like, I wish we could use and I would never use the music because, you know, we don't own the copyrights to anything. You know, we're very careful about what we use because we want it to obviously be of free use and public domain. And that's very important. Anybody listening to us, you know, if you're doing a podcast, make sure that, you know, if you don't own or have copyright acceptance of something, you know, you want to use something that's in the public domain or the free use category. But one thing that I really wanted to use when coming back to break... Not going to lie, because you talked about Eric Clapton like a couple minutes ago, right? Before the break.
Yeah.
He had a song that was on that soundtrack. It was called Motherless Child.
Correct.
Right? And it was from an album called... it was actually from a previous album that he had in 1994, From the Cradle. And I love Clapton. I am a huge Clapton fan. He was one of my favorite guitarists because I love blues. B.B. King, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and all that stuff. But, like, that song where it's like... If I mistreat you, girl, shut on me, no harm. Right? Oh, God. And I love when that's just echoing because
you're
gonna
get me singing on the podcast, man. God.
Ugh. Well, we could do it together because, you know, I know that you don't like to do it by yourself, but oh, my God. That's all I kept on thinking about, like, coming in after break was just Dusty's music just pushing right from that van, you know?
And, like, do you know, like, the song of my people is? Like, whenever I hear, like, you know, in the beginning of Twister, like, right after when Jill was a little girl and her dad gets taken by the tornado, then it shows, like,
yeah, he's holding the door, he says, I can't hold it. Right, right.
Yeah. Then right after that was when you see, like, Bill's truck, like, driving in and, like, the background music to that.
Yes.
That's, like, the song of my people.
Yep. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
But it's like the theme song to my life.
But I do want to go to, and of course, you know, this might, I know not everybody's a Goo Goo Dolls fan, but I mean, I have to admit, that is one band that I have loved through the 90s and even to right now. And I'll even say the Goo Goo Dolls were actually out in the late 80s, but a lot of their stuff wasn't really popular till, you know, early and late 90s. And Long Way Down, that track is so freaking awesome. Like, that's like what, like, it to me, it doesn't even sound like a, doesn't even sound like a Goo Goo Dolls track. Like, it actually, it seems like that was more of their, not, I want to say like a heavier style day of them when they were starting. And it might have been, it may have been, but it was so fitting for the soundtrack of Twister, Long Way Down.
That's, you know, what that's what Dusty was blasting at the end. That's what he pulled up with. Yeah.
Long Way Down.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love that song. That is one of my favorite Goo Goo Dolls tracks.
Okay.
So if anybody's going to bash me about liking the Goo Goo Dolls,
I'm
going to hold it right up. I'm holding my two hands up in the air right now with the middle fingers. Go fuck yourself. And that is a beautiful donation. I will actually, for that donation, using the fingers and the fuck you part, I'm donating $10 on top of what I actually owe.
There you go.
So yeah, fuck the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah, don't give me that shit. All right. Okay.
All right, let me go back to some trivia so we can move on.
Yeah, we need some trivia.
So you're gonna find this interesting. So did you know that Bill Paxton was not the first actor to that they had in mind to play Bill?
Oh God, I kind of want to guess on this.
Go ahead.
And the only reason I want to, because there's two films that come to mind. After you just got done talking about this, right? You have a blockbuster like Speed that was a few years back. Yep. And then you have also Air Force One. I think that was actually, no, because Air Force One was 1997, I think. So I can't use Harrison Ford. The only other one that I could think of, so I'm going to use Keanu Reeves from Speed, and I'm going to use Pierce Brosnan.
No.
Okay. So go ahead.
Tom Hanks was the original choice to play Bill, but he didn't really want his career to go in the way of, like, the large action films. So while they were on the set of Apollo 13, Tom Hanks suggested Bill Paxton was the perfect role for this.
Well, Bill Paxton played in that film, didn't he?
Yes, they were friends.
Yes, they were friends.
Also on the lineup, if, like, Bill turned it down or whatever, Kurt Russell and Michael Keaton were other possible choices.
Did we just become best friends? Yep. No, but it's so cool that we're thinking that because, I mean, the mind's right there. Like, I mean, I'm just feeding off that because, yeah, Apollo 13. That was a big movie Tom Hanks was working on.
Yes, it was.
And Bill Paxton was in that. That would be a great recommendation where, listen, if Tom can't do it and he doesn't have the ambition, give it to Bill Paxton, a co-star in that film.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Bill Paxton gets his big cinematic exposure here. Because before that, if you think about it, right, Bill Paxton was in Tombstone with Kurt Russell. And that was actually a movie. I think that was actually before. I have to look this up real quick. This is a cool Western. Yeah, 1993. Bill Paxton is in here with Val Kilmer, Sam Elliott, and Kurt Russell, okay? And I believe that Bill Paxton plays Morgan Earp. I think that's actually the youngest Earp brother out of the three.
Okay.
Because Sam Elliott played Virgil, which is the oldest brother, and Kurt Russell played, obviously, the famous Wyatt Earp. And then Val Kilmer played Doc Halliday. That is such an iconic Western film of the 90s, because that's where we get the saying where it's like, I'll be your Huckleberry, you know? And that's freaking Val Kilmer, Doc Halliday. But yeah, I felt for that moment because they were shooting pool, and that hurt me. When I saw Bill Paxton get killed in that moment, I was like, my God, his brothers are around him. His other brother was shot. And Wyatt's the only thing, like, trying to keep his brother alive, trying to, you know, with the doctor, they're trying to get this bullet out of his back or wherever it entered. I mean, you feel for it because it's such a dramatic scene. And I think right even then and there, if you go back to previous films, Bill Paxton was in Predator 2 with Danny Glover.
Yes, he was.
He was his co-detective on the case when they were trying to hunt down the Predator. And I just think, you know, going back to these movies that we're mentioning, where it's like, okay, we go to Predator 2, we could go to Tombstone, we could go to Apollo 13. Bill Paxton was a big name, up and coming, and I think it was fitting to put him into Twister. I'm so glad that him and Helen Hunt got the forefront.
The roles.
Right. Yeah. You know? That is so fitting. Yep. Love it. Man, we're right on cycle together tonight.
We are.
This usually doesn't happen.
I don't know. How could you not agree about Twister, though? Like, that's...
I mean, it's...
We'll have some debates later on in the episode.
Okay.
But, so I want to talk about just a couple other little facts. Do you know what was used to make the sound of the tornado for the film?
No.
A camel. It's a camel.
Really?
Yeah, that they, like, slowed it down, and that's what they use as, like, the sound of a tornado. Because, like, apparently if you hear one in real life, it sounds like a steam train, like, coming towards you. Like, you know, like the rumble on the tracks.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and then they also used a jet engine from a Boeing 707 to get, like, all the wind in some of the shots.
That's pretty
cool. Like, especially,
cool.
like, in the field. Like, you know, the cornfield after they, like, you know, the truck goes into the, they punch the core, as Dusty would say.
Yeah.
After they punched the core of the tornado. Actually, Helen Hunt got hurt trying to film that scene. Because, you know, when they open the door and, like, the corn's still there and, like, they're trying to, like, jump out of the truck with, like, holding the doors open.
Right.
She wasn't strong enough to hold the door open, so she kept getting hit in the head with the door. So they had to wedge her door open.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Any other trivia?
Apparently, because of, like, you know, this movie is very, like, bass heavy, it destroys a lot of, like, surround sound speakers.
Okay.
If you're listening to it, like, mad loud. Like, probably not, like, in today's surround sound, but, like, you know, like, the first ones.
Probably for that time. I would think, like, the digital audio, all that remastering and, what would you call that? Not remaster. No, because remastering would, I mean, this is production. So, like, at this time, I mean, it comes down to a point where it's like, because I remember that very fondly, just like going into Jurassic Park at the 99 Cent Theater. I mean, everything was so loud and vocal, you know? Like, these movies were power punch, you know?
Yeah, and, like, apparently, like, which, like, I, like, you know how we've been obsessed with, like, the Snyder Cut?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, this film was supposed to be, like, an R-rated film that was riddled with profanity and, like, really bad, like, wounds, but it was, like, edited down to, like, PG-13 in, like, the post-production stage, and, like, a lot of additional scenes with Carrie and Philip Seymour Hoffman were left on, like, you know, the cutting room floor because it didn't fit the PG-13.
Jen, do you think that Philip Seymour Hoffman actually got his breakout there, though? I mean, like, think about this.
Was that, like, his first film?
Yeah, I mean, was he introduced as Philip Seymour Hoffman in this film? No, because if we don't know the answer, but do you think that Twister catapulted him into other acting capabilities, you know?
Well, he was in stuff before this.
Well, right.
Like, Scent of a Woman.
But I mean, like, his iconic name didn't come up until, like, okay, like, what was it, Milk? Or, was that the name of the film? Or no, Capote. Remember Capote?
No.
He won an Oscar for that.
I never saw that.
Yeah, he won an Oscar for that. That was and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he played a journalist or something like that. But, like, he just grew. His career grew so much stronger throughout the years. Like, I feel like after Twister, we got a whole different a ballpark of Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well, he went into comedy. He went into action. He went into everything.
He was in The Big Lebowski. He was in Patch Adams. He was in...
Yeah.
That Along Came Polly with, what's his name?
Love his role in that film. Love it. What was his name? Jesus. Was it Dusty?
In what?
Along Came Polly?
Along Came Polly.
I think his name was Dusty.
Was it?
I think it was Dusty. I mean,
Sandy
Jesus.
Lyle.
Sydney, right?
Sandy Lyle.
Sandy.
That was his name. Yeah.
Crocodile Tears, baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was in Almost Famous. That's a huge one.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's had lots of good films.
I mean, I don't have any other trivia to contribute to, but I mean, like, that those are good facts.
Contribute?
Yeah. Contribute. Yeah, I'm already getting there, right?
Yeah.
No.
One other one. Laura Dern was up to be Joe Harding. Laura Dern from, as we know, Jurassic Park and Star Wars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's had some good roles over the years, too. She has. Yeah. And most recently, she came into the Marvel, she came into the Star Wars. Yeah.
Yep.
She was in what? Not Rogue One. Help me out here. She was in,
The Last Jedi.
I thought she was in The Force Awakens.
No, The Last Jedi.
Was The Last Jedi? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's a good actress, so.
And Garth Brooks turned down the role of Dusty. Thank God.
Yeah, I don't know how that would have went, but I mean, I think his music could have contributed very well to it, you know?
Because
he had that big hit there, The Thunder Rolls. That could have been something on the soundtrack. Maybe it is. Maybe it's there and I don't know, but that was a big track of the country 90s era. Thunder Rolls.
Okay. Thunder Rolls.
Yep. So yeah, notable so disaster. Should we keep going
that's
into
about
this?
It for trivia.
Okay.
Wrapped up on trivia. Yeah. So let's talk about a few other disaster movies that are going to be our notable and honorable mentions.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to break these down into detail, but I mean, we got quite a bit on here. I mean, we did work on a list.
Yeah, there's some that we could totally, like, debate about, too.
I'm sure.
We got some debates.
Definitely.
So.
Well, I'd like you to take it away, because, I mean, this was, not going to lie, I mean, I feel like I was typing more into this document this week than you were, and it's like, okay, yep.
Yep. So one of my other favorite disaster films is Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones. I also wore that VHS out multiple times.
I did like that movie.
I like that one a lot.
Yep. I did like that where Los Angeles was burning because of a volcano.
The La Brea Tar Pits.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So So that's a good one. That one's definitely on a notable disaster movie. I'm going to have a controversial opinion about this next one that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Dante's Peak.
Okay. It's a volcano movie.
Yes.
Yep.
The cinematography is beautiful. All of, like, the volcano shots and, like, the mountain town. But, like, that grandmother lady, she really aggravated me.
The grandma?
Yeah, because she wouldn't come down from, like, her lake and she be was evacuated.
Stubborn. She was stubborn. Yeah.
She ended up dying anyways.
Well, she did it for good reason, though. I mean, she did play a sacrifice role.
She did, but they wouldn't have had to go up there to begin with.
Right.
If, you know, the supervisor guy listened to the, you know, volcanologist.
They did call her off the morning. Or they did call her off the mountain. They told her to come down and evacuate.
Yeah. And she wouldn't. So, yeah. I don't know.
But I think that
sort of aggravated me.
Yeah, but I think part of that had to do with that. Wasn't that house built originally? Yeah. I think there was sentimental value where she wasn't going to leave her home, you know? But even in a situation like that, I mean, listen, the mountain's about to blow. Get the hell out of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't care if your great-great-great-grandfather built the shitting house, you know?
Yeah.
Get the hell out of there.
And she put her grandchildren in danger, and, like, that was just nutso to me.
What was her name? May?
Ruth.
Ruth. It's one of those names.
Yeah. So, I don't like Dante's Peak. It aggravates me.
I like it. Pierce Brosnan's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
Linda Hamilton, another great actress. And everybody would know Linda Hamilton from the Terminator movies, Terminator 1, Terminator 2. I think she played a really good role in there because she was actually the mayor of the town at that time. And she was going by Pierce Brosnan. The science that was presented to the community, you know, she was trying to feed off that, and there was a big connection. I just like the story behind it. I think it's a good film. It's a good disaster movie. Just like how we mentioned with Volcano, it's good stuff. But how about some other movies? What else we got?
So, like, one of the more recent ones is The Day After Tomorrow.
Ah, Dennis Quaid. Love.
That one was like, I was okay with that one. I was like, that one's...
Yeah, I wouldn't consider it good.
Not one of my favorites.
And that's exactly what I was going to mention here. It's funny that you mention that because I just saw on a website, they said the best disaster movies ever made of all time, The Day After Tomorrow came in at number one.
Which is bizarre to me. Yeah, why? Twister's number one, for sure.
Yeah, but why would that come in at number one?
I don't know.
Twister's actually number two.
Well, that's incorrect.
I would debate that. I would actually put Twister right in front of The Day After Tomorrow. Not saying that The Day After Tomorrow is a bad movie. It was good.
No, I don't think that should be in... Like, I like Volcano. I like Armageddon. I like Poseidon. I like Core more than I like The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, if you were to tell me, Matt, make a top 10, I think The Day After Tomorrow is actually going to be outside of the top 10.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Yep. And it's not because of poor acting. It's just because there's so many more notable films that we could go back to that have covered this topic already, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, like we mentioned Armageddon a little bit before, but I love that film.
Well, look, if we go back to Armageddon, look at Deep Impact.
Yes.
You know, that was another one. Morgan Freeman, close. Robert Duvall, mm-hmm. Elijah Wood, what's her name? Taya Leone. She was the main reporter in that movie. And, you know, the funny thing is, I think, actually, those films, if you look at Deep Impact and you go to Armageddon, I think they were released the same year.
Yeah, they were similar.
They were 1998. It had to do with, you know, the Armageddon essence of an asteroid hitting the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody going into the emergency preparedness of, we can only save so much, and we can only do so much.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's what it came down to.
Armageddon is on my, like, I don't know. There's a couple movies that, like, will make me cry when I watch them. And, like, Armageddon and The Green Mile, it's, like, every time I see them.
It's kind of funny because, you know, Armageddon, the Green Mile, you have, what's his name? Help me out here, Jen.
It's the guy that plays Bear and John Cotton,
yep.
Right?
Bear and John Cotton.
I don't remember
his name, John Coffey.
John Coffey, sorry. It's been a while since I've watched that.
But yeah, I cry like a baby all the time to the Green Mile. I'm telling you, if you do not have a soul, if you don't, no, you do not have a soul if you don't cry
to Michael Green Clark Mile. Duncan.
And that's a shame because I think more recently in the years, didn't he pass away due to a heart attack?
2012, yeah.
Yeah. He's a great actor.
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of good films.
Yep. Great actor. Yeah, Armageddon's one of my favorites. I would actually put that's in my top 10.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Deep Impact's in my top 10. Armageddon's in my top 10. Twister's in my top 10. So, I mean, what else do we have on that list?
I thought Poseidon was fun.
Poseidon was actually...
you know, the cruise ship and then, giant... Like, what was it, a tidal wave or something that flips the ship over?
Would we consider it a tsunami? Or a tsunami?
A tsunami, yes. Right, that's okay. What it was.
There was a tsunami, right, and it it catapulted the ship.
Rocked the boat.
Yeah, talk about, rocked the boat.
Yeah, which actually has Emmy Rossum in it, and she was also in The Day After Tomorrow. So she's got two disaster films under her belt.
And I'm trying to think. The guy from... oh, God. Sweet Home Alabama. He was in that movie, too, I think.
Mike Vogel.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was. He was one of the good guys. Oh, no, wait. That's the boyfriend. No, what is his name?
He plays the main guy. Oh, God. We have to IMDb.
Josh Lucas.
Thank you.
Sweet Home Alabama. He's in a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and he's been around, too. I mean, he's been in a lot of film.
Yeah.
Yep. The only other one that I would mention is The Perfect Storm.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that comes up because that's actually based on a real weather event that actually occurred back in the early 90s. And what was that, Agnes? Oh, God.
I'm not sure.
Here, Perfect Storm, right? That was a huge one because that was a storm that hit the East Coast.
Yes.
I was glad that they kind of depicted this film because it was based off a real event where a fishing boat went out to, a certain area. They weren't going to do that. They were initially going to turn back, and they were going. What was it? The Spanish. Oh, no. God, I can't think of it.
I haven't seen it in, like, 20 years.
Perfect Storm weather.
That was George Clooney and Marky Mark.
Yeah. It was the no-name storm, especially in the years immediately... Okay, so, yeah, 1991. And so, especially in the years immediately after it took place, Halloween Gale Storm was a nor'easter that absorbed Hurricane Grace. Ultimately evolved into a small unnamed hurricane itself late in the cycle. So it was an unpredictable part.
Yeah.
Yep. So what was that? I mean that's the Andrea Gale. That was the ship that they were on. Was the wreckage ever found? I don't know. I don't think the boat was ever found. Be honest with you.
Okay.
But that was a good film with George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg. And hey, going back to Armageddon, Sully, remember him?
Yes.
He played, what's his name? Captain, Harry put him in the vice grips, remember?
Yes.
That was Sully.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't remember his name though.
But he was in that film, yep. No, Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi was in Armageddon.
Yeah, he was. Rockhound.
Oh! John C. Reilly! John C. Reilly was in The Perfect Storm.
Oh yeah, he was.
Yep. He was Murphy.
Okay.
Yep. So, a good film there. We're talking natural disasters. Other mentions that I have here on the list.
Yeah, and you do your mentions.
Yeah,
and I got two recents.
I call this bullshit. Into the Storm. It sucked.
That was terrible. That was like the newer of like, you know, trying to redo Twister.
Yes.
And it failed.
It failed. Epically.
Failed.
Epically.
I was pissed when I saw that.
But I'm just gonna give some good ones here. Some more notable mentions that we should mention. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Contagion.
Yep. Outbreak. I didn't see that, but you said I should watch that. It's on my list.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's an early one. That's with Rene Russo and Dustin Hoffman. Very good movie.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Dusty is his Twister name, his character.
The Hoffmans. Hoffmans. Yeah. But the only other ones that I have on my list that were notable, The Happening and The Birds.
Right.
And comically, I mean, I'm throwing this one out here. It's comically
Sharknado
yeah. and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, you know?
I didn't see the last one.
Yeah.
So
those Sharknado movies are, you have to watch them. They're laughable. I mean, it's part of pop culture, you know?
Yes. Can I tell you that I watched The Birds when I was little, and I remember the one year... we went to the beach, and it was like
seagulls.
We rented a house, and it was like right next to the beach. Maybe like we were like one house up from like the beach entrance. And I remember the one day it was like raining on and off all day. So like when it stopped raining, it was still like cloudy and dark out. And we went to the beach, and like I don't know if we had like snacks or something with us, but we got attacked by like seagulls, and like all I could think of was the birds.
Don't bring food to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You're asking for it.
Yep.
But so. Yeah, the birds though, I mean, you know, if we go back to an early outcome of trying to, I'm not calling this natural, well, maybe it is a natural disaster, because we don't know what influenced the birds to do what they did, you know?
It was the magnetic fields.
So everything...
In the movie.
Okay. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock, a master of, I put him in the category of, he's a master of horror.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back into Psycho, the first guy that has ever put out a slasher film. And, yeah, I mean, if you guys want to come at me about that, too, I mean, do your research. Psycho was the first slasher film that we actually saw that on film. But for him to come out with a movie like that with the birds, that was a scary concept. I mean, you think about that. I mean, am I going to get dive bombed? Am I going to get freaking attacked by a swarm, you know? I mean, yeah, that is crazy, because even when watching the movie, even for how old it is, I mean, you could probably laugh at it at part and say, oh my God, these birds are so fake. But think about what people were thinking years before that when they first saw this. You know, I mean, this was Hitchcock's vision, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, that kind of, like, when I watch that movie, I think about that. Like, I think about the time, the presence, and the direction of what Hitchcock was thinking. It's a scary moment. I mean, the birds will get you. Good luck.
Good luck.
How about you? Any more movies that you can mention? Or?
Yeah, I got two, like, recent ones. So, like, the first was Deepwater Horizon, which is off of the tragic disaster of, like, the oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico when it like exploded.
Okay.
That's Marky Mark. And that was actually, that was a really, 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 really good. That was a really good film. And then, so if you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend watching it. Okay. Also, this one's going to go towards my love of crazy animal films and natural disaster films. So recently, within like the past like couple years, I'm not really sure if this was a 2020 or a 2019 movie, but it's called Crawl. It's 2019. I just checked on that.
Okay.
And it's about like there's a hurricane, okay? And, like, it floods this city in Florida, and, like, these massive, like, crocodiles are just, like, wait, is it crocodiles or is it alligators? No, it's crocodiles. No,
it's crocodiles.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I was gonna say alligators. Crocodiles have that more,
It's the rounded.
Yeah.
Alligators are pointed. Yeah.
Yeah, crocodiles.
So these massive, like, crocs and, like, this girl and her father get, like, trapped in, like, their house. And, oh, my gosh, it's just crazy. It's crazy. But I don't know. I thought it was fun because I love those ridiculous, like, animal films.
Well, one movie I'd like to go back to and say that it was good, but it was bullshit. Like, what? The Happening.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you ever saw this movie, did you?
Yeah, but I probably saw it once. It wasn't
to me. Because
top priority.
Well, right,
Marky Mark.
Right, it's only top priority because Mark Wahlberg's in it.
Yeah,
and what's her name? Zoe Deschanel.
Yes, I'm just not like an M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, but you know what though? It just the film didn't really. It didn't glue together. Like, it didn't... Like, I don't know. It just... There could have been more to explain what was happening. Yeah, that's funny, right? The Happening?
Yeah, The Happening.
Right,
yeah, because it's like what? Like a plague movie, I guess you could call it?
It's like people are going senile. They're running themselves over with lawnmowers. And committing suicide. And it's just like they're out of touch. I just wish there was a little bit more definition behind it, you know?
Yeah, like
to me that's like a strong 3 movie for me. It's a 3 out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah, like Pompeii is also like I guess you know
Pompeii
you
sucked.
That was terrible. I saw it because Kit Harington was in it.
Yeah, but you know what though? They could have did that Sword better. Was they garbage. I would say San Andreas was better than fucking Pompeii.
Yeah, but San Andreas has The Rock though, so I'll watch.
Well, that's why The Rock's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'll watch anything he's in. Yep. He's good.
Oh, he's fucking awesome. He's great.
So, yeah, I think that
wraps up.
We got our honorable mentions.
Yes.
So, we have to mention Titanic. Yes, it's a disaster film, but like...
It is.
I don't know.
But it's...
Been there, done that.
I kind of consider that accidental, though. I mean, I understand the natural part of the iceberg, but, like, this falls under category if a freaking tanker hit another boat in the ocean, or if, you know, it's
anything, yeah. Right.
I mean, you can't control what happens in Volcano, you can't control what's happening in Armageddon, you can't control the freaking weather in Twister, you know?
Like, Titanic was an accident and somebody made a mistake.
Yeah, somebody should have been looking at that fucking iceberg a little better, you know?
Yeah, right?
The fucking crow's nest.
So then we also have two others that are debatable.
Okay, go for it.
Gravity, I wouldn't call that a disaster movie.
No, I wouldn't call that.
That just happened to be on, like, you know, a list that we saw, and I was like, why is this on there?
No, but I'm when it comes to debate, I'm with you 100%. I would not consider that. No.
That's what we're debating. It's not... Yeah. I don't consider it a disaster film. Like, yes, it's in space, but, like, we saw, like, you know, Armageddon and Deep Impact. Those were space movies. But, like, I don't know. Like, you just... I just don't consider it a disaster film.
No, I don't think it fits the category of what we're talking about.
Mm-mm. And another one that showed up that kind of surprised me was Independence Day.
Okay. Okay.
That surprised me, too.
Well, the good debate about... All right, so Alien Invasion is obviously a lot different than natural disaster.
It's just sci-fi, yeah.
Yeah, to me that fits the sci-fi category. Like, if we're going to have a podcast, we'll talk about sci-fi disaster or sci-fi conflict. I think Independence Day would definitely take the cake. Mm-hmm. This is not by nature. This is not by natural disaster. I mean, if you look at the other films that we just talked about, like Twister, Deep Impact, Armageddon, The Day After Tomorrow, Into the Storm, The Perfect Storm, Poseidon, Volcano, Outbreak, Contagion, Dante's Peak, whatever the fuck you want to talk about. You know, Independence Day does not fit the piece. It does not fit the puzzle. It's more of a sci-fi. It's more based on alien invasion. And that would fit the category of movies like, okay, you got The Fourth Kind. Not only that, though, you have...
Mars Attacks.
You know, I mean, this is... I think Independence Day actually goes into its own category. It could be sci-fi disaster type, but it does not go into natural disaster like what we just talked about. No way.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I don't think it belongs.
Okay.
I don't think it belongs. Get rid of it.
And then there was The Swarm. Not going to talk about that.
Which I didn't see.
Fucking bees.
Fucking bees.
God damn it.
I like bees.
Well, we got to keep them. I mean, I've been advocating for that. And now that I have a bee suit, I will help whatever I can.
We'll get you a hive.
Yeah.
We'll get you all set up.
Yep, we'll get me a hive.
Maddie the beekeeper.
Real quick, Jen, we have two more things that we have to go over. Okay?
Okay.
What's the first DVD that you... And I'm going back to what we just talked about. DVDs went back to 1997 on the release. What was the first DVD that you remember buying?
So, we were talking about this the other night. And
I know we were.
The ones that I remember the most, I really believe it was Fast and the Furious. I think the first Fast and the Furious was my first DVD.
Okay.
I do. I think that was my first one. But then I also remember, like, The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Okay, so you're between The Mummy and The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brendan Fraser's.
I know for a fact my first DVD bought was Lake Placid, 1999.
Okay.
Yep. And not a Bill Paxton film, a Bill Pullman film.
Correct.
Yep. All right, so Envelope Drive. That's the next topic that we have.
It's the last one. What we got? What do we got?
All right. So our question here this week is, do you think we'll ever get back to normal from the pandemic? Nice. Okay. It's interesting because, holy shit, I mean, we're talking about natural disaster. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is actually a pretty good question in the Envelope Drive.
Yeah, I think we're going to get back to normal. Like, the vaccines are readily available if you, you know, choose to get them. Right now, like, mask mandates are being lifted. I think that, you know, because the vaccines are more readily available, yeah, I think we're going to start getting back to normal. And I think it's probably going to be, like, a flu shot where you get, like, the COVID and the flu shot vaccine, like, every year for a while. At least that's what I think is going to happen if you choose to get the vaccines.
Well, that sounds good to me, so... I mean, I'm on the same boat. I mean, eventually, I would hope that things get better. I would hope that things get, you know, a little bit more on route. I think we are. I think we're at that point. I think we're, as long as we're vaccinated and we're getting there, I think we'll be fine. I really do.
Yep.
Just do your part, people. Do your part. Do your part in being safe.
And I also think that there needs to be, like, I don't know. Because, like, you know, if you get, like, the flu now, you can get, like, Tamiflu, like, at the pharmacy. Like, they make, like, drugs for, like, antiviral.
Oh, sure.
I also think that if there's something that's, you know, that could also combat COVID as a prescription item, that would also greatly increase our chances of getting back to regular everyday life.
No, I agree with you. 100%. 100%.
So, all right. We got anything else for the evening? Or is
that
just about wrap us up?
Well, here. I'll put this real quick. Our top disaster movie choice. What
Twister.
Is it? Twister.
Yeah.
We're both in agreement to it. That's our film. That is our love. And that's it. That's what I would pick.
That's the wonder of nature, baby.
Yeah, exactly. That is perfect. That is perfect. Yep. So, Jen, if you could close us out, that would be great.
All right, guys. So that wraps us up for the week. Everybody, stay tuned. And we got some good things cooking up for you in the next couple weeks. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, shoot us an email at garlicjarmedia@gmail.com, and we will return next week for some more episodes coming at you. All right, thanks everybody, and have a great night. I'm not gonna move past you.